some more things that are here that I believe that will help us to understand Paul and the things that I believe in this book that he wants us to understand in the Christian life, and that is the joy of the Christian life and what we can have by being in it if we follow some things that he took and made available through the Word of God here for us to share tonight. I pray your blessings upon it. As we turn there, Philippians chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6 tonight, as we're going to look at some things that would be a blessing. Everyone there? Mm-hmm. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 6 verses, though, just to kind of open it up here. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, bless now, I pray, your word, and it may be empowered to speak to us in a special way, again, that we might be different as we leave here tonight from what we hear about the joy that Paul had in his life as he served you, and he wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi, and may it be a blessing to us tonight as well. We love you and praise you, and thank you for each one that's here. Again, speak to our hearts. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to ask my Miss Vanna to come up here for me tonight, and that's going to be Miss Layla. She's going to come. We've had her already check her pen out to make sure that it writes. So Miss Layla is going to write as you all give her the answers as to what she should write on the board, right? So you ready, Miss Layla? All right. What was the word? What is the thing that we're talking about tonight? Anyone tell us? Tara? Joy. All right, you're going to write that up there the way we had it last week? Now, you didn't write that little when you wrote your name. I want you to write it out big, okay? I want you to write a big J, big O, and a big Y. So those are the things that we've been talking about, joy of the Christian life. What did we give as an acronym as we're going to use it? What did we say that the J was for? Jesus. Can you write that in there for me, Miss Layla? Right? Man, you got to write him big, too. He deserves that. All right. And the O is for others. Can you write that out for me as well? Wow, she's getting cursy on that. Wow. All right. Others. And who is you?
Yourself.
All right. So you can write you or you can write yourself. But we're going to put you in there for that. And that was what we were talking about when we think about joy. No one tell me, what did we say about joy let me ask you this though, what do you remember from it that with what we've talked about that's been a blessing to you this week or in the last few days, Miss Jerry?
That you can have joy even in trials.
Even in trials, amen. How many of y'all, I found out the last couple of days, all I can think about is, look, you can't be letting these people make you upset. you know, your circumstances shouldn't be robbing you of your joy. All of these things, and you know, all of us going to have some problems, and all of us are going to have some things that are going on in our lives. We can still have joy in spite of the things that are going on. Who can tell me what we said that was important about the joy of the Christian life that Paul was writing about in chapter number 1? What did we say about that kind of was his focus that we find in chapter 1? Anybody remember? You're afraid? Go ahead, Terrell. What do you think it was? Okay. He was writing to Timothy or he's writing to the church at Philippi. Now, what I want to add, the question I'm asking, don't you think about it? What did we say that chapter 1 kind of tells us about what Paul is writing and speaking of in chapter number 1? Remember we said something about each chapter. Tell me what you remember that we talked about that was in chapter 1.
Joy.
Okay. Natasha? Places. Okay, we can have joy in spite of places. You can write that up there for me. Number one, you can write that smaller, right? So we said places, right? So Paul wants us to understand that we can have joy in spite of the places that we're in. And we said the place that he was in, we have to think about the circumstances that were surrounding him and the place that he was at when we think about the writing that he's talking about in the church at Philippi. How about chapter 2? Anybody remember what that one was referring to? We can have joy in spite of what? People. So we're right there for chapter number 2. We can have joy in spite of people. And people will do what to us when it comes to our joy? And rob us of it. And Paul, Paul, he was talking about Paul. Paul wants us to understand that we want to have joy in spite of people. And one of the things to always remember about when it comes to people that we talked about here, I hope you all remember, is that you don't always have to win. You don't have to always have your way, but we always should think of others when it comes to things that would help us to be able to be better used of God in putting others first. When we have Jesus first, others first, second, and ourselves of yourself will be last. What do we say about chapter number 3? We can have joy in spite of what? No. Things, because we said things. So we want to think spiritually as we use it. We're keeping all of our S's go places. We're going to think about things. So we're going to think about things as we talked about chapter 3, and we keep our P's intact. We're going to think about chapter 3. I got it written here. Where did I got it here? Promises that things don't bring to us. So we're going to say promises. So take the things out and put promises. Promises that things seem to promise, but they never really fulfill. We think about what he's saying, we have joy. But the thing that we saw there was Paul was not caught up with things. And a lot of times things disappoint us and they don't bring us the joy that we think that it should or that we're looking for. You might remember that, right? And then the last one we talked about was what? Chapter 4. Worry. So all of us going to have what? Problems. And we shouldn't be so worried about the problems that we're going to have. So number 4, Layla, you're going to put up there is problems. So those are the things that we talked about in each chapter. I kind of want to just kind of highlight those things since Vanna wants to be up here and write for me tonight. So we'll have her come up. We want to make sure we keep our young people involved as well. So I thought it'd be kind of nice to use Miss Layla to do that. And didn't she do a great job?
Great.
All right, she's elevated herself in swimming, and she's done a great job in spelling and writing, cursive and all of that stuff, right? All right, well, thank you, Miss Layla. All right, she's been a wonderful help. Let's give her a hand. All right, okay. So tonight I want us to look at Sunday. We talked about a lot of things, and I won't go back again and talk about the message that we preached on Sunday night in its entirety. But one of the things I wanted us to see was when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, there were some very important things about the church that Paul remembered. He recognized what brought him joy, and the recognition that he thought about was the people that were involved. We talked about there were the servants. He called himself a servant. And what I want us to understand that Paul wants us to see, even calling himself and Timothy servants, they were no different than us. I think a lot of times when we look at the writers and we think about people in the Bible, we think they were super saints. They were no different than us. Paul called himself the chief of sinners, so he couldn't have been much better than you and I. We all are sinners saved by what?
Grace.
By grace. So he wants us to see about the servants as he talked about who they were. He was writing to the saints that were at Philippi. He was talking about the structure that were there, the bishop and the deacons that were there. He talked about the substance that we saw that was there. So he had recognition that brought him joy when he thought about all of the people that were there in the church that he was writing to. We talked about remembrance of how all of that got started. Who can tell me where it got started for Paul when we think about the book of Philippians that we talked about? Where did it all start? In Acts chapter number 16, and we went back and looked at Acts chapter 16, and Paul was, I believe, was rejoicing because one of the things that we pointed out that is so important, I believe, even today, that will bring joy to our lives is good preaching, because it made a difference in Lydia's life. It made a difference in the demon-possessed girl. We saw that Paul's testimony made a difference to the jailer. The jailer got what? The jailer got saved. His whole household, Lydia, her family got saved. The demon-possessed girl, she got saved. And those that didn't want to see her get saved was the one that persecuted Paul because of him taking away their welfare, or because now she had been filled with the Spirit of God. She was no longer going around acting out the demon that was possessed in her. She had gotten rid of that because she had gotten saved. So Paul was remembering through the preaching, the persecution that he went through, the profession that was made when we think about the jailer and how they got saved. And so those were the things that brought Paul's joy. And I was saying, Sonny, I think a lot of times us in the Christian life, and I say it again, and I probably say it many times before we get through this entire book, if we ever get through it, praise the Lord that we will, one of these days. But as we go through it, I want us to see and understand, we can have joy when we focus on the right thing. When we don't have joy, we don't have joy when we're focusing on the wrong things. Paul didn't want us to get caught up in the circumstances of life. He didn't want us to be robbed about joy because of people. He didn't want things to be the things that we focus on because they won't bring the promises that they do. And we all going to have problems. And even in spite of all of the things that he was going through, Paul was still being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's something that God wants us to do. But here's my thought tonight of what I want to do briefly tonight and talk about. I want us to think about his reflection of joy. When I think about reflections, what are we talking about? Reflecting back on what was going on as well, not only in the people's lives, but in the church, but what was going on in his life. And Paul was reflecting on the joy that he had for what he saw that God was doing in the Philippians' life. Let's look at verse number 3, as we've already talked about it, but you can't overlook what Paul was talking and saying. As I said it earlier, I could preach many messages from this area, but I want us to think about this. We're going to think about reflection. He says here, "For I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." He says, "In every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, a prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." So Paul's reflecting and he's praising God and even praising them, because he could praise God for what they had brought, the memories of what they had brought in his life, as he could see God working in their lives. I believe when we have Christians, as we talked about Sunday, when we are, as Christians, have won people to the Lord, and think about the first person or somebody that you won to the Lord. How many of you ever go back and think about and see them, whether they're here in church or whether you communicate with them outside of the church, and some may not even be in church. Have you ever really thought about how God used you to witness to them? Remember, I think a lot of times we miss the joy of the Christian life because every one of us ought to want to have some babies. Amen? We want to have some babies and watch them grow in their Christian life. And Paul had many babies around the world that he had been involved in. He was pouring his life into those young Christians, and it brought him joy as he could see how God was working, not only in his life, but how God was working in their lives. And I believe when we have that kind of a situation in our lives, our focus won't always be on ourselves, because we don't want it to be on ourselves. When we focus on ourselves, it is probably not a good thing. We can have joy when we think about what Jesus is doing and what other people are benefiting from what Jesus is doing in their lives, or either how God is using us in other people's lives. So when I think Paul reflects back on the joy that he could praise God for them, and the expression that he gave is that he praised God and he thanks God upon every remembrance that he could have of the Philippians, of what God was doing in their lives. And all of this that Paul was talking about, I believe this joy that he's showing us even here tonight is the reflection of it breeds joy into his life. When I say breed, it's like breeding cattle. It begins to multiply in his life. And I believe it begin to multiply in your life if you have that kind of outlook on life and understand what God is doing. And it brought joy to his life. And he was grateful. He showed gratitude when he think about it now. He's thinking about Lydia. He's thinking about the demon-possessed girl. He thought about the jailer. And as Paul would think about them, they were the foundation of that church that was there. So the people that he had his remembrance of, It was those people, they were the core of the people that were there in the church. And I believe when Paul reflecting back on how God used him in their lives, it was a blessing to him. And one of the things that I think that most of us probably miss out or miss when we think about it, and this is going to be my focus tonight, of just want to talk to you about just a couple of things. Because I believe that every Christian, there are some things that showing in their life that ought to show in our life. And two things I want us to think about tonight that shows in their life, and this is not really in my lesson, but I thought that it would be a good thing to point out, is their generosity and their hospitality. Because in those days, generosity was needed, because we're going to see in just a moment, a generosity was needed, but hospitality was needed. When you think about the woman at the well, what was the first thing that she wanted to do when Jesus led her to the Lord? Go tell other people. How about this scenario? When Lydia got saved, what did she want Paul and Luke to do? What was it that she wanted them to do? Come to her house. You think about Jesus when he was on the road after he had resurrected, and he was walking with those two men, and they didn't know who he was. What did they want him to do? Come to their house and abide with them. And hospitality was needed, because Paul was a missionary, and missionaries are traveling, and they didn't have the Motel 6 and the Hilton Inn and the Comfort Inn and all of those things that we are accustomed to having and being able to stay and go somewhere when we are traveling and going somewhere. But I think it's such a blessing, because it tells me something about Christians who are genuinely saved that will bring joy and a blessing in others' lives when they show hospitality. I believe a lot of us have wonderful and beautiful homes, but how many times do we actually really share and invite somebody in? I've heard Brother Neil say it many a time. You probably hear a lot of preachers say it. One of the things that you can always do when it comes to witnessing and being a blessing to other people is to invite them into your home. You can be more in control of what is said, what's done, the conversations that go on, the entertainment. Not only the entertainment, but the food. When you brought them in, you invite them into your home, you can have more of a control of some of those things that go on and be a blessing to them. Most people in our society today are not accustomed to going to somebody's house and you really showing them good hospitality. And most of them are wondering, well, Rose calls herself a Christian. I wonder what's her home life is like. And to get a chance to go in there and see you, I'm not picking on Rose, but I'm just using an example, or Mrs. Hall, or even my home. What is it like to go to Pastor White's house? You know, what is it like to be in somebody's house that calls themselves a Christian? And most of the time you want to invite them in, and I pray that you have a good Christian environment that you invite them in. And that's what they wanted to do for Paul. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. I'm kind of getting off on this, but I wanted us to think about some things that I believe we can be very practical, that I believe that brought Paul joy when you look at people's lives as Christians. Because when they get saved, they get excited. There's some things that you see that happened in their lives, and it brought him joy as Paul sees, and he thanked God for them. Look at Acts. Let's see, Miss Andrea, read Acts 2, verse 41 and 42 for me. Andrea? Well, if they're going to break bread, where do you think they're at? Go on down and read that for me, Terrell, verses 43 and 44. Verse 46 and 45 and 46, Natasha. Wow. And praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. And they were having fellowship. There was preaching, there was teaching, there was things that were going on, and they were going from house to house. And I don't know about y'all, but I like going to different people's houses. Most people cook, everybody cooks something different. I remember we was in Germany, we was overseas. It was just such a blessing to be in a church where you had so many different backgrounds and nationalities of people that were there. And when you go to their house and they invite you and you go there and eat, Ken, they all had something different. And everybody cooked a different cuisine. And Miss White and I were like, well, we don't want to learn how to cook it. We want to eat it at your house. Amen. We give you the recipe, Miss White. She's like, I don't want the recipe. I just want to come to your house and eat. Amen. Because this tastes better when you cook it. Amen. I don't want to learn how to cook it, but some of the things she did. But it was always such a blessing when we show good hospitality. And that's what they did, because chapter 2 speaks very clearly. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they went from house to house, breaking bread, praising God for all that he was doing in their lives and what God was doing. And hospitality is one of the things that brought Paul's joy when he saw how God was working in these people's lives. And I tell you another thing that I believe that's missing that most people probably don't see here to recognize. When I think of, I'm going to circle it here because we'll pick it up again on Sunday, but generosity. They were very generous people. How do you say you get that, Pastor White? Look at what he was saying here in verse number 3. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And I like what Paul's saying, because these were the things that he was saying, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, it brought Paul great joy because of their hospitality, but I believe also because of their generosity. Most of us don't think about the generosity when we think about how they were involved in Paul, and he says, in your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And you have to find that what he's talking about if you turn over with me to Philippians chapter number 4. Notice what they did. When I say generous, generosity, it was because of their giving. They were very generous people. And the church at Philippi, they were well off because they had some very rich things that were going on there. They were very valuable things. Even Lydia, when they talked about her selling colors of purple, that was a dye that was put on things that she made, and it brought great value to it because of the beauty that it presented and everything that she was using that purple in. And when we think about the generosity, look at verse number 15. Read that for me, Ms. Hall, of chapter number 4, verse 15 and 16.
Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity.
And it is what I'm talking about tonight, that Paul had joy in his life because they were hospitable, but yet they were generous givers. And I'm going to tell you something tonight and mark it down. And I say it until the day I die. People that love the Lord are givers. I've never met anyone that truly understand what God has blessed them with and what God is doing in their lives. If you love the Lord, you ought to want to give back to God what rightfully belongs to you, to him. And you will be generous in your giving when you realize that he is the one that gave it to you. And they understood Paul's need. In other words, they were not only willing to help Paul in his ministry. And Paul said from the very beginning of the gospel, what was he doing? He was going around preaching and teaching the gospel. And they were supporting him financially. Missionaries need our support. And Paul is an example, and we've been taught many lessons from Philippians chapter 4 about missions and about giving. And that's what that church was noted for. He says, nobody communicated with me. Communicated was that they were involved in what he was doing. They were supporting him financially. And Paul took great joy in that. And he goes on to tell him, it wasn't for my benefit. He didn't want it because he had great need of it. Paul wanted them to do it because he wanted them to have fruit from that would abound to their account. Look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul was excited. He had joy in his heart because I'm gonna say this, and I believe he saw that in their lives. And Paul says, because he had confidence now that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Your generosity and your hospitality is evident of God working in your life. And I believe it's just the beginning. And when he saw how God was working in their lives, it brought him great joy. And I'm telling you, that is one of the greatest benefits as a Christian that you can ever have, is to be generous in your giving. Because y'all have heard me say it, you hear many of us say it, that you can never outgive God. And the Bible tells us it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God because of their what? Of their giving. And it brought joy to Paul's life. And I believe because when he says your fellowship in the gospel, they were saved, they were separated, they were sanctified, they were all of those things when you think about how they were as stewards. In other words, their generosity and their hospitality, Paul was grateful for their salvation when he saw how they were saved. Paul was also grateful for their stewardship because they were givers. And that's one of the blessings in the Christian life. God is well pleased with us when it comes to us giving. God wants us to be generous in our giving. I want to read you a statement here, and I should have read it before I first started. This is many of y'all know Helen Keller. And she's noted for what? Being what? Blind. And deaf. But you know what? When people are blind and sometimes deaf, you know, they view life in a totally different way than we do. We get to see things a lot of times with our eyes, but I believe people with their eyes see things different. Because I read a statement by her earlier today. I was looking up her name. She saw things with her heart. See, we got to see how God's working in our lives from our hearts. Not so much what we can see physically, but we see things from how God's working, and we see it from a heart point of view. She wrote this statement. She says this, so much has been given me, I have no time to ponder over that which has been denied. Y'all mold that over for a few minutes. So much has been given me, I have no time to ponder over that which has been denied. You think about all of the things that you have and stop focusing on the things that you don't have. You really stop doing that, you have joy in your life. Most of us, if we be honest, we always think about the things that we don't have. What about thinking about the things that you do have? And if our focus would be on the things that we do have, we won't even worry about the things that we don't have. Because it'll bring us joy when we see the things that God has blessed us with. I thank the Lord that y'all hear me say it, and Miss White even mentioned it today. If I look back and try to compare what somebody else has in their marriage, it's not going to help me. I thank God for what I have in my marriage for 37 years. God has blessed us to be married. And there are a whole lot of people that can say that. And I'm not knocking, because everybody's in a different situation. Everybody's in a different circumstance. But if I look at what somebody else has and don't think that I have anything that measures up to it, that's a sad testimony as me as a Christian. Because I got so many things to be thankful for. If I look at what other people have as far as possessions that I don't have, that's still a sad testimony, because I got, folks, y'all hear me say, I got more than I could ever could have dreamed of. And so do you, if you really think about it. You got a whole lot of things that a lot of people don't have. And your focus need to be on the things that you have, not on the things that you don't have. And it'll bring you greater joy in your Christian life. And I've learned a long time ago that I need to stop living for the Joneses. You know, who is the Joneses anyway? Anybody ever know who the Joneses were? Ain't you heard that statement before, living for the Joneses? Who were the Joneses anyway? I don't know no Joneses anywhere. Amen. But that's what we think. But that's not what's going to bring us joy. Here's another quote from this guy named Randy Allen. I got this out of this book that I'm reading by Dr. Chappell. And he's talking about these things in this book. He says, it's impossible to become a full developed followers of Jesus Christ without becoming a fully developed steward of your resources. Think about it. These are two quotes, and I know the one from Helen Keller. I intend to write that in my Bible and keep that and read that sometime day to day, because I think it is so important to us in our Christian life. And Randy says it again. Let me read it. It is impossible to become a fully developed follower of Jesus without becoming a fully developed steward of your resources. In other words, God has given us everything that we have. And not giving is an evidence. A giving was an evidence of their faith. And giving is an evidence of your true faith in God. You can't get away from it. Because if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Y'all ain't say it loud enough. If you love me, keep my commandments. So what is one verse when it comes to giving that y'all can remember? We do it every Sunday. What is one verse that you can remember when it comes to giving? Huh? God loveth a cheerful giver. We say that all the time.
Yeah.
Malachi what? Yeah. Bring you all. Next, Miss Layla. What verse do you think of? Just say it for me. How about this one? Give. Finish it for me. And it what? Give and it shall be given unto you. A good what? A good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together, running over, shall men give unto what? Give unto your bosom. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I would not open the what? The windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And that is a promise from God. And it, you know what? It really bothers me sometimes when you meet Christians and they always trying to figure out and ask you the question about what you believe about tithing. They still want to bring it across like it's just an Old Testament practice. It's a New Testament practice. In other words, you ought to be glad that you have something to give back to God. And to want to hoard what you have to keep for yourself, that ain't gonna bless you that much anyway. It is more blessed to give than to what?
Receive.
To receive. It is. It is more blessed to give. It'll bring you more joy giving something to somebody else that has a need than it will for you to keep it all to yourself and you don't want to be a generous or a giver when it comes to the things of God. God blesses a giver. He loves it when we give because he gave. And so giving, generosity and hospitality was one of the things that Paul, I believe, when he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Because Paul saw that what God had done in their hearts and lives, he was reflecting on the things that he saw in their lives. And these just two things that I wanted to point out tonight. And there are so many things that we could point out, but just those two things, think about it. Their hospitality and their generosity. That is a good picture of a joyful Christian life. Jesus, others, and then yourself. Because when we give, God loveth a what?
Cheerful
giver. And God has blessed you with a beautiful home. And it is one of the places that you can use as ministry, ministering to other people. Invite them into your home and show them how Christians live. And show them, you know what? It's not that I'm saying that you ought to do it because you're perfect. But you ought to do it because you love God. And you want God's blessing. And that's what they did. And I believe that was one of the things that was an encouragement to Paul and to his team was the way that they gave and the hospitality that they showed. And he says it in verse 4, and always in every prayer of mine, make him request with joy. In other words, it was a continuous joy that Paul saw in their lives. And how God has blessed, and he praised God for that. And it brought him joy. And I believe it brought joy in their lives because they could do that for Paul because they love him, even in spite when he was in jail. Most of us probably not give too much to jailbirds. Amen? Because most of them that we know today are probably, I'm not saying all cases, but some people are in there because they've been mistreated, or they in there because of wrongdoing. And Paul was in there because of wrongdoing. They may not be guilty of the crime that they've been sentenced for. But most of them are in there. How many of them in there really witnessing and telling people about the Lord like Paul was? And God knew what Paul's needs were. But Paul was more excited to see what God was doing in their lives. And it brought him joy. And he didn't focus on his circumstances. He was focusing on the people that were at Philippi. And he wrote this epistle when he was in jail. And Paul didn't know whether he was going to get out at the time that he wrote it. But it brought him joy when he looked into these Christians' life. But, you know, I pray that just those two things will be a blessing to you tonight. We'll pick it up again Sunday morning and talk about something else and bring some other things to light, because I believe those are the things that are missing. And our focus has to be in the right thing. And one of the other things I want you to remember about the places and the circumstances, but also Paul had a singleness of mind, and that was to get the gospel out, the gospel, because that was what people need to hear. That's what's going to change people's lives. And the gospel was his focus. And that's what he talks about in this chapter. And his singleness of mind was one of those things that we talked about. The singleness of mind was one of the things that we talked about when we talked about this chapter. Also in chapter number 4, and we're going to close, the submissive mind. Paul was telling us how Jesus was submissive to the Father. And he was submitting. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the things that we ought not get caught up in, he counted those things done. And that's the spiritual mindedness that he had. And his secure mind, we ought not be worrying about things when we think about chapter number 4. Because I believe it robs you of the joy of the Christian life. And Paul continues to point out those things. And we're going to continue to look at some more single-mindedness that he had when we continue to look at chapter number 1. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. And we thank you that we can come before you and ask that you would just continue to work and bless in our lives. And thank you tonight for showing us the generosity, but also the hospitality that was prevalent in the lives of these Christians that Paul is writing and talking to us about even tonight, and the joy that it brought to him and his Christian life when we see what's going on here and the many other truths that we can find, that we'll dig out some more nuggets here in the day to come about things that will be a blessing to us as Christians. We love you and praise you and ask that you go before us now, prepare the way, keep us safe, bring us back Saturday morning at 9:30 for our visitations, and pray for our pastor and his family as they continue to travel. Thank you that we heard Neek getting out of the accident. We pray also that Kat made it safely to her destination as well. And Lord, there's so many things that we have to be thankful for. And we are grateful to you tonight. And ask your blessings upon us now as we leave. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.